This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
How long has it been?
5 months, 17 days and 6 hours.
Wow. No, that is...
Very promising. She in there?
She wanted to be waked.
I was thinking, if it's okay, I'd like to say something at the funeral.
About what?
Granny.
Oh, I don't think there'd be any need for that. Do you think there'd be any need for that, Tom?
No, God, no.
I'm not going to be embarrassing. She's been really good to me these last few months, you know? Her support.
Of course, yeah. And we're here to support you too this weekend. Aren't we, Tom?
Absolutely, yeah. Very much here too.
We're going to go to the shops.
For what?
Food.
You don't have any.
I'm off gluten and dairy too.
Oh, for f***'s sake.
What?
Why don't you go with them and get what you need?
I haven't seen Granny yet.
Well, it's not like she's going anywhere, is it?
That's The Dry. It's on Wednesdays at 9:35 on RT1. You can watch the whole series on the RT player. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, Sean.
The Dry refers, I assume, to the main character who's had issues with alcohol.
Indeed. And as we heard in that clip, she's been 5 months sober. And this is a drama, comedy drama from the writer Nancy Harris. She is a BAFTA nominated Irish writer. She is probably best known for as a playwright, really. But she's had huge success writing various scripts over in the UK. And this is a co-production then with Element Pictures, and it's directed by Paddy Bradnock. And it has some big names attached to it, I guess, in the form of Ciarán Hinds. And I liked it, but I have to admit, it's a show that has gone international before it got to us. It was distributed on BritBox, which is a streaming service that I actually think we can't even sign up for, because it is for kind of like British shows all over the world. And this has already gone out in Australia, it's gone out in Canada, it's gone out in the UK, I think, and in the US. And it has been met with a lot of critical acclaim. So I was very excited about this, because actually I've been cycling on my way to work through Ballybock in North Dublin, and the billboard for this first appeared, I would say, in October. And I have been going, when is that coming? When is that coming? An Irish drama that I can finally review on the radio. And it has finally arrived. And I will say also, all episodes of it are now up on the RT player, so you don't have to do the weekly double bill that they're proposing. And I sat down to watch it, and I find sometimes, you know, with Irish made stuff, we can be, or certainly I can be, extra critical, that when I'm watching it, I apply a much higher standard, even though often the budget is lower than it would be, you know, for a big American HBO kind of show. And I went in with that bias in mind, trying to keep an open mind. And my kind of ultimate thoughts on it are, it is a very competently made and reasonably good show. It is not spectacular, but it certainly is funny and dramatic at times. But ultimately, I have a few problems with it, right? So our main character is Roisin Gallagher. She plays Shiv Sheridan. She's having an amazing year, Roisin Gallagher. She's going to soon be starring in another comic drama on Sky called The Lovers, where she will have her native Belfast accent. And Shiv has just returned from London, as we heard in the clip there, for her grandmother's funeral into South County Dublin. And her family are messy, I suppose is the way to describe it. Her mother, Bernie, is kind of a cross between like, you know, Brenda Blethyn and Juliette Binoche, and is able to suck lemons like no one else. Her dad is played by Ciarán Hinds. He's Tom. He's the kind of typical means well dad, unable to confront his problems. Her sister is Siobhan Cullen, played by Caroline Sheridan, who's an uptight doctor who is always looking disapprovingly at her sister. And then the youngest member of the family is Adam Richardson as Ant, who is basically he's gay. That's all they gave him, right?
Right. Okay. So he's like there is a personality.
He's partial to illegal substances and many bedfellows, and he doesn't get an awful lot of development beyond reconciling with sort of some family trauma that will become apparent as the series goes on. Now, ultimately, my main problem with this was that it was like, it is absolutely totally fine and good in parts, but for me the main issue is I never sort of felt like Shiv had reached her rock bottom. Like, at a couple of times they have these flashbacks where they're showing her struggling with her drinking, and you know, there are times, you know, like one of them, I think it's maybe in the second or the third episode, where she's, you know, we flash back to her in London, and she's having she's engaging in some romantic activities with a gentleman in a public toilet, and I think we're supposed to sort of be, we as an audience are supposed to be really disgusted that this is happening. And to be honest with you, this kind of thing happens in dramas all the time. And if the point they're trying to make is that the guy she's sleeping with is, you know, not that handsome or whatever, to be honest, they kind of lost me in that. Other than that, I found the family's kind of moral background to be very odd. We learn quite early on that Bernie and Tom, the parents, are in a somewhat, a somewhat open marriage, and yet later on they are completely and utterly aghast at other kind of sexual exploits that might appear. To me, it was just a little, it was like the show kept trying to have its cake and eat it too. But when it was good, it was really, really, really good. And the things that I liked most about it were, there's, you know, in the second episode, Shiv attends an AA meeting in South County Dublin, and it's full of Avoca Rice Krispie buns and trauma by way of yoga retreat. Whereas she then goes to an inner city one, and she meets her later to become sponsor, Karen, who's played by Janet Moran. I thought all the scenes between them were interesting and funny. But parts of it, yeah, my main problem is it just keeps trying to have its cake and eat it too. And there are these moments where it is going for this, these broad laughs to be then immediately followed by a kind of very dark and miserable humor. Any review you read of this, and I have read many at this point from all over the world, all sort of say it's an Irish version of Fleabag. And that is just completely and utterly incorrect, because it isn't. It's not as acutely funny as that show, and it's more of a family drama than that is. But all in, as a 8-episode, 30-minute thing, how does it pan out? Yeah, like pretty well. I think it is, you know, the cast all gel quite well together, even though the family is not especially well fleshed out, and they are all, you know, another issue I kind of had with it is how unlikable they all are, to be honest with you.
And do the family know that Shiv has had issues with alcohol?
Yes. So as we like, yeah, so she is a recovering alcoholic from the get go. And even in this opening episode where she's attending the family wake, all her extended family know it, and they're all talking about it. But the show is as much about sort of, I guess, recovering alcoholics as it is about the Irish tendency to lean towards alcohol as a fix for many of our problems. Right. As in, not maybe people who are not alcoholics, but people who are certainly heavy drinkers, and what that might mean, what that might mean for them and their relationships in their family. Another kind of subplot we get is Shiv reconnecting with her kind of a long lost boyfriend, Jack, another artist. Shiv is an artist herself. He's played by Mo Dunford. He gets a particularly raw deal in this, in the sense that he a worsely plotted or meaner or inconsiderate hunk I've yet to come across in Irish TV. But all in, the good here far outweighed the bad for me, I guess is what I'm saying. But yeah, by no means did I think it was a perfect TV show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because they're kind of black sheep coming home, you know, to the quirky family sounds kind of familiar, really. It sounds like kind of dramas we've seen before.
It's rich ground for a reason, but certainly I don't think there's nothing especially novel or new in this version of that story.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to our next show. It is Daisy Jones and the Six, new episodes streaming every Friday on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Can I ask you a question? What do you think the song's about?
What do I think the song is about? What the song
that
I wrote?
What
do I think the song that I wrote is about? It's about starting a new life, okay. Daisy. It's about redemption.
Redemption from what?
From letting people down.
So guilt. It's about guilt.
No, it's not about guilt.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pry or anything. I'm just trying to, you know, get us on the same page and understand the story better so that I can help, which is, I think that's why I'm here. I'm assuming it's about you. Okay, so you let somebody down, right? And now you're saying, you know, everything's fine. Look at us now. Everything's in the past. Nothing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't believe it. And it doesn't sound honest, and it sounds simple. And I don't know you very well. You don't seem simple to me.
Oh, thank you.
Also, why did you call it Honeycomb? You know that's a Ricky Nelson song, right?
She always liked this.
Right, so I have read a bit about this in advance, James, and the buzz seemed to be that this is just a thinly disguised version of the Fleetwood Mac story.
It is completely and utterly a thinly disguised version of the Fleetwood Mac story. So it comes from a novel written by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And she based her novel, I think, when she saw a version, like I'm not that clued into Fleetwood Mac, but I know they had some big concert in the 90s where they got back together and there was lots of Stevie Nicks staring at whatever the Fleetwood guy's name is. Lindsay? Is it, or Lindsay,
Lindsay Buckingham or Mick Fleetwood, it could be. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I think they were all, look, I think it, throughout their history, they all ended up with each other anyway. So I'm sure they were all staring, giving each other the evil eyes and lascivious eyes at the same time. So basically, she watched the 90s version of that concert and was so struck by it that she wrote this novel. It actually does form part of her a kind of extended novel universe where a number of characters appear in different versions of the same or appear in different novels. And it's kind of funny because all her novels have been picked up and are being turned into various different TV shows or movies, but they're all by different streamers. So it is like the most disconnected cinematic universe yet to come. But it's about, it's set in the sort of 60s and 70s, and it is about the titular Daisy Jones, who is played by Riley Keough, who is a very successful actress in her own right, but it must cannot go without being said that she is also Elvis Presley's granddaughter. And she is born into great privilege and starts writing songs in a diary. I had to laugh every time she picked up this tiny little red diary, and we're supposed to believe that she's constantly writing, you know, songs in it, and yet by episode 3, she seems to have made it about 10 pages into the diary. And she encounters the Six, who are a rock band out of Pittsburgh, of which there are 5 members plus the kind of lead singer's wife. And they basically, so the lead singer is played by Sam Claflin, and fate conspires to bring them together to form a very, a very Fleetwood Mac-y type band. Now, this is going to be a 10-part series. The first 3 episodes went live last Friday, and each one will come out next Friday or in subsequent Fridays. And all in, you know, I thought that this, again, was really, really handsomely made, right? It is a beautiful production. The costumes are fantastic. The music is really excellent, if you like that kind of music. And certainly people do, because this is the first fictional band, Daisy Jones and the Six, to ever go to number 1 in the iTunes chart, album chart. Their album has gone straight to the top of the charts there. And certainly I will give credit where credit is due. This was planned pre-pandemic. So all of the auditions took place before the pandemic. And then because of the lockdown, they sort of, I guess, contractually forced all of their stars to go into intensive music lessons and learn how to play the guitar, the drums, the bass, the keyboard, how to, you know, work with vocal coaches to get that, star quality into their performances. And we have been led to believe that a lot of the performances are really live, or certainly as live, right? And the music part of it really holds up. They look like real people when they're on stage. They're sweating and so on and so forth. But for me, the kind of main issue is something similar, actually, a bit to The Dry, in the sense that like, where are the real rock bottoms here, right? By that, I mean, I think in episode two of this three-run episode, we see Sam Claflin's Billy Dunn succumb to alcoholism. And I mean, it is the fastest fall into alcoholism and then bounce back you have ever seen in a single episode of a TV show. And he's cheating on his wife, despite the fact that, you know, they've literally only just got together. Like, you know, it's all moving so rapidly and yet kind of so, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as, it's not tame enough to be PG, but it's somewhere in the 12s realm of, of alcohol, you know, or substance abuse in rock TV shows. So it all is just, for me, a little bit tame at the moment, but I think there is scope for things to get a lot messier down the line, because where we have left it in our viewing of it, Daisy and the Six have just managed to connect, and obviously fireworks are to follow at this point. But all in, I think it is you know, I know that this book was a huge, huge bestseller. It also is, you know, this version of it, it comes from Scott Neustadter and Michael H. Weber, who are best known for 500 Days of Summer and The Fault in Our Stars, and were Oscar nominated for The Disaster Artist. So they know their way around putting together a decent script. The whole thing, as I said, you know, Amazon has a lot of money and it looks like it has a lot of money in this show. They've recreated the 70s in California really beautifully. And it's all kind of a bit grimy, but very, very, very cool looking. I just need the drama to be a bit more dramatic. And my biggest quibble with it is, my understanding is the book, Daisy Jones and the Six, is told as like a transcript of various interviews with them. They obviously can't do that here. So instead they frame it as like a musical documentary. So you have talking heads of the cast in the 90s. They don't look old enough, you know, like they're supposed to have led these, you know, hard rocking lives in the 70s and broken up as a band, and yet they look like, you know, they look better than I do, right? And at the same time, that also saps a lot of the dramatic tension, because you have this mockudrama going on where we're following the dramatized version of the band getting off, or well, certainly that's happening, but getting off the ground. But also we're then getting these talking heads of them commenting on it. And it actually really just saps the drama from it, because it's just so like contrived, really.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, that sounds a bit... Well, I suppose you could, you, like, because like Fleetwood Mac, when they were making Rumours, like, they were all splitting up with each other. They were all out of their face on drugs the whole time. It was an utter car crash. So, yeah, you couldn't get any more dramatic than that. Why didn't they just do that bit? But maybe...
I know, right? I think I think that bit is coming.
Yeah.
It's just that the preamble has been very tame in comparison.
Yeah. Okay, our third show is The Reluctant Traveller with Eugene Levy. You can stream all episodes of season one now on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
This wall of fame shows the most distinguished guests dating back over 70 years.
Well, we got Greta Garbo, Humphrey Bogart, Grace of Monaco.
Right.
And, as of first thing this morning, a brand new edition.
Oh, look who it is. It's Eugene Levy. Wow. That's a nice touch.
At least I hope it is.
By the way, these people unfortunately are no longer let's say alive.
They're well, that's a good way of putting it. They're all dead.
Well, this is definitely a lovely gesture. Lovely and frightening.
This could be an omen that something not good is about to happen. Well, thank you, Mr. Lorenzoni.
It was a
thank
pleasure.
You. Yes.
Right, this sounds a bit bonkers.
This is such, like, listen, if I was Eugene Levy's agent and they offered this to me, not only, like... I'd be saying, can I come along too, basically, right? So this is a travelogue show in which Eugene Levy gets paid, presumably, a hefty salary to go around the world and stay in the most exclusive hotels you can imagine in places from Finland to Costa Rica to Venice, Utah, Japan, the Maldives, Lisbon, and South Africa. And then sort of I guess, pretend that he doesn't like it, right? Because he spends his whole time going, I'm a reluctant traveler. I don't really like traveling. When I do travel, I love staying in hotels. So certainly we know, look, he's a very successful comic actor. At this point, we can imagine he's made his way around the world a couple of times and has probably stayed in some nice hotels. Maybe he is a reluctant, person hitting the tourist traps, but certainly he likes a fancy hotel, and boy does he get them in this. Now, it is also an exceptionally charming show, and he makes for a really good foil in this, because he plays his part really, really well. Like, when I was watching this, I was immediately struck by Netflix has its own travelogue show with Zac Efron that I did on this on this slot maybe 2 years ago. That's called Down to Earth with Zac Efron. It's ostensibly through a kind of ecological viewpoint, but it's Zac Efron going around and experiencing different things all over the world. And he is a terrible presenter for that show, because he comes across as really dopey, like a total himbo, unable to engage meaningfully with anyone that he encounters. Whereas Eugene Levy has interest. He's just interested in every single place he's in. He's interested in talking to the people. He's interested in being warm and funny and self-deprecating with all of them. And he's going around as this 75-year-old man, really game to be the fool or to be the butt of the joke or to have his leg pulled or to do whatever. And as we heard in the clip there, he's not awkward, but he manages to create kind of like silly moments of awkwardness where everyone is in on the joke. And it's just really, really charming. And then the other thing about it is, obviously, Apple is like the wealthiest company in the world. The budget for this episode 8 run, I mean, it must have been in the tens of like millions and millions and millions, because just the way it is shot, the way it is scored, the way it is edited, the variety of places and activities that they do, they're all just like things that only, you know, that I could only dream of. And certainly I'll be dreaming of them, because I will absolutely be going back to finish this, because it's just really, really, really pleasant, funny, easy kind of TV. It's kind of like watching like Instagram, like it's like watching Instagram, but with funny people leading you around the world. I honestly thought it was the most charming thing I've seen this year.
Okay, that's a fairly major thumbs up. His reluctance, though, does it feel like an act, or does he kind of pull that off?
I think, to be honest, he kind of pulls it off. Maybe I'm just projecting my own cynicism onto him here, right? Like, the point he kind of makes is that he doesn't like being away from his family. He doesn't really like spending long times on planes. And certainly he has to do an awful lot of that for this show. But, like, I don't have a lot of sympathy for someone who's saying, I don't really like traveling while then getting to stay in this beautiful hotel in Venice where, you know, Humphrey Bogart was staying, and just is, you know, I'm not holding up to it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Right, so those three shows are The Reluctant Traveller with Eugene Levy. You can stream all episodes of season one now on Apple Plus TV. Daisy Jones and the Six, new episodes streaming every Friday on Amazon Prime Video. And The Dry, that's on Wednesdays at 9:35 on RTE1, or you can watch the whole series on the RTE player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief. Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.